Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt.
No, honey. Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am, Ken. I am serious.
How do you think Ken made out in the NCAA tournament?
I'd imagine he did pretty good. I know his eyeballs are on OKC. Remember, that was the final
features.
Interview we did. He said, if the Oklahoma City Thunder win the NBA Finals this year, I don't know if Ken Barkley's ever working again.
We are almost at the year mark.
Of losing him?
Of losing him, and I have to text him to see if he'd be willing to join us and say, how'd the year treat you?
Yeah, I think I saw him tweet the other day, he's got an embargo till September, is what his personal media embargo is, and after
gave us a little leeway on that embargo
that
on his
true.
Goodbye, so maybe he'd make an exception for his good friends out in Portland, Oregon, USA.
It's so good.
I'll never forget having him on 2 years ago. The opening, he used to join the show every Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and he joined us the opening day of the Masters, and I had a massive ticket on Jon Rahm to win, and as we were interviewing him, Jon Rahm had started his round.
With a double.
And he, like, quadruple putted the first hole, if I remember correctly, and he double bogeyed the first hole, and I remember just thinking,
you
it's done.
You gave up.
It's done. It's all. Are you kidding me? He's, like, missing four-footers left and right. A double bogey on the first hole of the tournament, and I'm freaking out. And then he went on to win the tournament. So that was a nice little payday. I miss Ken Barkley. Gavin Dawson coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll go to Dallas. Luca's back in town tonight. And then we'll move the Statter story to the bottom of the hour. The Masters, though, ladies and gentlemen, it begins tomorrow. You guys rubbing your nipples, too? You guys doing that? You just walk around the house, realize you've been watching live from the Masters for 7 straight hours with your shirt off. What's happening right now?
I got to be honest.
I get moved. Can I ask this question? I want to know what this is for you guys. Genuinely curious, because I was thinking about this yesterday.
Not the same level as you, whatever the question is.
You're not that aroused? If I gave you not team, not season, not, like, it has to be an event, okay? An event. Sport, you're going to prison. You're getting locked up for the rest of your life.
Prison Mike.
Prison Mike's here. But I'm giving you a conjugal visit TV.
Swag would be so awful in prison.
He'd be a terrible guy in prison.
You're getting shanked.
I would, too. I'd stand no chance.
Really? I think you'd do well.
You think I would?
Yeah,
no chance, dude. No. I don't want to get into it. It wouldn't go good.
Just be a coke.
I give you one conjugal visit with the television. You get to... I'm the warden of the prison.
Is there a VCR?
I'm allowing you to watch one sporting event for the year.
Oh, God.
What sporting event would you choose?
What constitutes an event?
Like
Super Bowl, NBA Finals, World Series,
but
the Masters.
But do I only get one game of the finals or the whole finals?
You can have the whole finals.
Or I can't get the whole playoffs?
You cannot get the entire playoffs,
you can't
no.
get the Stanley Cup playoffs?
You can get the Stanley Cup final. That's an event, not the entire two-month-long playoffs.
Am I going into said event in this hypothetical scenario?
Yeah, Prison Mike, what's up?
Blind? Like, am I going in and you're saying it's Celtics Thunder is your choice for the finals?
No, you would just, for the rest of your life, you get that's the event that you choose. You
every
get
year.
So, or do you want the Super Bowl? Or do you want March Madness? Or do you want, what would you choose? Never in a million years would I choose March Madness. Because I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, if you gave me one sporting event to watch the rest of my life, I don't even know if it's a debate in my head. It's this.
What?
It's not even close. Not even close. It's like not even a...
The Super Bowl?
Not even up for debate.
Now, hold on.
Prison Dirt's choosing the Masters.
You don't get to play... You have to play by the same rules. You don't get the first, second, or third round. You're only getting the final
No,
round.
I get the event.
No.
The event.
No,
it's a four-day event. It's not one-day event. I'm giving you the
then
entire
why
NBA
he get
finals.
The Stanley Cup playoffs?
I'm giving you the entire NBA finals. I'm not giving you the entire playoffs. I'm not giving you the whole playoffs.
You're not playing by the same rules.
I'm playing by the same rules. That's the same thing. It's a four. There's 4 days in the event.
Swag,
there's seven
the
games
thing?
In the NBA finals.
Why don't you get the whole NHL playoffs?
I don't know.
You guys suck. Just play the damn game, would you?
I'm going to take whatever gets me the most time. That's pretty much
what
it's
going to be. Well,
you
already have the time. You're committing your time.
You're committing
prison.
Your time. You're in prison.
Well, I know.
What do you care about your time?
So you would choose
point?
March Madness then? Because March Madness would be the longest
event,
technically.
Month. If I don't get the entire
run of
the
playoffs. Well, how do you get all of March Madness, but you don't get the NHL playoffs?
It's not the same. It's not the
same.
It's
multiple weeks.
Okay, I'll give you the Sweet 16 on. You guys are terrible. I'll move on. Masters tees off
tomorrow.
Well,
what you're doing is play the game.
What would you choose? What sporting event would you choose?
I would choose
Come on, Riggins, pick a sporting event
that gives me the longest amount of time in front of the TV because I love all sports.
Well, you get TV time every day.
But you wouldn't be able to watch the other sports.
I wouldn't be able to watch sports.
And this hypothetical.
No, yeah.
So I because I enjoy so many different sporting events, I would take whatever gives me the most opportunity to watch sports.
And what would that be?
Well, if you're telling me you're going to give me the most time for March Madness, then that would be it. It does not matter the sport. Like, you could give. If
there's not one event that's above others for you.
I don't think so.
Do conference championships in the NFL and the Super Bowl count as one?
Sure, why not? Is that fine? Are you happy now?
I'm wearing you down.
Fine. Take conference. Is that work? Is that what you want?
Negotiating. I'm in prison. What
is that what you want? You want three football games? Is that what you choose?
I really would love the NBA Finals because it would give me a best of seven. Now, there'd be a lot of years it'd be terrible. But there'd probably be some pretty good years in there that I wouldn't want.
A lot of years where the finals and conference finals are great.
But I love the NFL. Damn it. Imagine not seeing...
I was just trying to get a take out of you. What's your favorite sporting event of the year? That was the whole point. Swag refuses to play the game, and you're just bartering over there.
No, I'm debating.
Well, I'm in prison. I'm going to get... Give me the most sports.
I guess I guess where I'm coming from is, like, I love a few sports almost the same amount, and you're just, like, not even considering
any I don't love the other sporting events. I'm not saying
that. I
don't
think you are, because you're just poo-pooing them all, and you're saying it's not... You said it's not remotely close.
Not remotely close. If you gave me one sporting event to watch every year, it would be the Masters. And it's not even a debate in my head.
You're kind of blowing my mind with this.
Not even a debate in my head. That's how much I love this event.
I think I'm going to ultimately make the mistake of choosing the NBA Finals because ultimately, again, the NFL Conference Championships and Super Bowl would prove to be amazing in a lot of years, and I wouldn't get to see Lamar Jackson hoist a Lombardi.
Somebody said, give me the World Series. The games could last 5 hours. That's not a bad theory. I think World Series baseball games go on a long time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go finals.
You go finals? NBA finals?
I think I'll stick with being NBA Sprague.
That wasn't that hard. Somebody said, if I'm going to be in prison, I'm taking women's beach volleyball tournament. See, again, not a bad theory. Want to look at something while you're in there.
Well, depends what your situation in prison is. I don't know if you'll enjoy that anymore. But what I would say is, it's not that hard. I love multiple events.
I do too. I love the Super Bowl. I love the World Series. I love the college football playoff.
But there's another one.
I love them all.
What if Oregon won in this span?
It would really suck.
It expands. It would really suck. Expand to 16 teams.
Yeah, it would blow that I wouldn't be able to watch that.
I don't think you do. You're making me question how much you do, because you choosing that so quickly and easily makes me wonder how much you do love those other events.
I love every sport. The Masters is my favorite sporting event of the year. It's the sporting event that I look forward to the most every year.
What is it about it that you just, it stands alone like by
I love golf.
A long ways.
I love the history. I've been on the grounds. I love the aesthetics of it. I love everything about this tournament. I love the entire week. I love the buildup to it. I love the green jacket serum.
Is there a big buildup to it?
I mean, if you're into golf, there is. There's a massive buildup to
there
it.
There is.
I've been watching live from the Masters every day.
What are you watching?
Live from the Masters.
But like, what is live at the Masters? It's not playing golf.
It's on the golf channel. They're talking about the Masters.
That's the name of the show.
Live from the Masters is the name of the show. I'm watching, you know, Max Homa hit like 200 balls on the range yesterday.
Yeah, and then Bryson
I watched his
hit
range
like
session on the Masters
almost
app.
400.
He did. This guy's a psycho.
Matsuyama, the defending champion.
He loves the facts. They call them patrons.
Yeah, you can't say fans. You got to say patrons.
Fans or galleries. No,
you also
it's
can't say back nine at Augusta National.
What do you say?
Second nine. Can't say back nine.
I can't say back nine.
Can't. Okay. They have standards and
rules.
I think
this is what stops me from even considering it is some of these stupid little things that you're telling me.
Yeah, I love it, man. I can't wait for it to tee off tomorrow. My biggest ask going into the weekend is that I feel like we've gone a long time since there's been serious drama in the closing holes of a Sunday. Like, Tiger winning in 2019 was one of the all-time great leaderboards when you go back and look at it.
It
where
was a little
was.
Interesting.
Dude, there was like 15 guys that had a chance to win it on like the 12th tee. It was insane how many were grouped together. Really, since then, the only one we've had come down to the wire was when Hideki won it a couple of years ago, and Xander was within striking distance and then put a ball in the water on 16. Last year, remember, it was close, and then it was essentially over by the time Scottie Scheffler got to like the 13th, 14th hole. So the last five holes, there was no drama. Rahm had a five-shot lead heading into the 15th hole the year before that. Scotty went into the back nine his first Masters with a four-shot lead going into 10. DJ won the event in a runaway in 2020 in the COVID year. That's my biggest ask of the weekend. We do this in all sporting events. You just want to, you don't want 34-0 in the Super Bowl. So much buildup that I hope that I hope there's a handful of guys that have a puncher's chance on the 13th, 14th, 15th tee boxes on Sunday. Biggest ask I got.
You know, the other thing I kind of wonder, too, is, like, how much of a letdown it is when you don't have those good tournaments.
I mean, it sucks. It's a bummer. When the last five holes are you know, there's nothing really riding on it, and you're just a set.
That's a coronation rather than a competition.
Scotty, when he won his first, remember he was paired with Cam Smith in the final grouping. He had that chip in early in his round that kind of settled him in. Yep. I want to say double or triple bogeyed the last hole of the tournament. He like three or four putted, but it was just a wrap. He was just mentally checked out. Mm-hmm. I got to finish the hole with anything less than an 11 and I win the tournament. It sucks, man. It's like going into the third quarter of the Super Bowl and it's 34-0. Nobody wants that.
Like I've known you've cared about the Masters for a long time. Choosing that and not even like considering the Super Bowl or Oregon playoff stuff.
Well, if I choose the playoff, I'm not guaranteed that Oregon's in it every year. If you give me the caveat of an Oregon playoff,
teams you basically do.
I mean, you would hope so, but it's never know. It's nothing certainty. Dan Lanning could leave. You never know what the future holds for the program.
He's never leaving.
Phil Knight could die. All the Nike money could dry up. The company could go under. I don't know.
There's going to be something in the estate that says we will continue this going.
A couple of quick stats for you. Colin Morikawa, your guy, has the lowest scoring average in Masters history for a player without a win, minimum of 20 rounds.
Well, his big problem is largely he cannot make clutch putts.
Nope.
It's always kind of been his bugaboo. He's a great second shot and in player. He's one of the best on the tour. His putting has been problematic.
And 23 of the last 25 Masters winners made the cut the previous year. Mm-hmm. So it's something you always look for. How'd you play last year? Usually finishing in the top 22-ish or 23-ish. The guys who fall into that category for this year, Rory McIlroy, Minwoo Lee, Joaquin Niemann, Keegan Bradley, Harris English, Adam Scott, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Patrick Cantlay.
Well, I eliminated some of those guys with
you
my
already
stats.
Eliminated some of those guys, so they can't be counted.
I think tomorrow there's a real, and I know it'll start and the show will be on, but like there's a real Rory thing here of everybody rooting for him. And
he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Well, it's the mental side of this that is, I mean, golf is the most mental sport, that and maybe tennis, but I just like it's the one place you're not winning and you need it for certain reasons. Like the mental part of that, I could talk for hours about how athletes have to overcome that stuff and how remarkable it is.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. Nobody's finished the career Grand Slam since Tiger did it many moons ago. And Rory's trying to become the first once again for another year at Augusta National. It all tees off tomorrow. Let's go to Dallas. Luka Doncic is back in Dallas. And we'll talk to Gavin Dawson, formerly of The Fan, about the return and how the city's feeling next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Our producer doesn't like return games, but we're very interested in return games. This one...
How can you be anti-return game of...
It's near the top of the list.
Like you cannot even care about a sport but still be interested in a return game.
This one's up there, man. It's a weird one though because it's not a guy who usually it's the animosity and the anger. It's the
like
LeBron.
I want it out of here.
Yes, it's LeBron returning as the evil villain in Cleveland. This is like a weird one where he's returning, but everybody hates the team and not the player. And joining us now to talk about it, formerly of The Fan, now with 105.3 The Fan,
the Mop
in Dallas, Gavin Dawson at Gavin Dawson on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Gavin, good morning to you. I can't even imagine what it's been like in that city the last couple of weeks. We had to deal with Damian Lillard leaving, who was the face of the franchise here, but that was a weird thing where the organization kind of eventually forced his hand, but didn't trade him at midnight out of nowhere and shocking the entire city. What are the vibes like and what's the emotions going into tonight's return game?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I can tell you the vibe, the emotion has gotten worse, you know, in the 6 weeks since the trade has happened. I think Mavs fans are more broken. They're more hurt. They're more despondent and more against the organization than they were the day after the trade was made. As time has gone on, I suppose there could have been an explanation that could have allowed this to make sense. But, you know, the only thing that we have to go on now is that Nico Harris and the GM and the owner, Patrick DeMott, somehow became convinced that Luka Doncic was the problem. And, You know, now we go into tonight thinking we don't know what to expect as far as the reaction. I think there's going to be a lot of pro-Luka sentiment. Many people will probably be rooting for the Lakers. And the long-term viability of the Mavericks here in this market is now in question. You know, 6 weeks after Nico thought he was making a trade to bring a championship here to Dallas.
You've been in Dallas a while now, Gavin. Has anybody been able to try to make sense of ultimately why they just take a dude who led the team to the finals the very next year, played really well when they were all healthy together, and just decided to blow it up because of whatever reasons? Has anybody been able to try to make sense to you since they've moved him?
Just more drilling down on the idea that, you know, Luka was such a bad employee, if you will, and you know, they didn't have any faith that he was going to stay healthy. You know, background on Nico Harrison, GM, former Nike executive. I'm sure many people in our audience today are familiar with him, but apparently he is a nutrition freak. And if you see him in his suit, it's obvious because he's so lean. He's a former basketball player, you know, in his 40s, but he's still at his playing weight. And apparently he asks his friends and coworkers as, you know, a daily hello today. So that gives you context of what the front office was thinking. And he's a very convincing guy. And he got the owner on board with him last year in the finals in Game 3. Luka was just atrocious. They were hunting him on defense for 48 minutes and the Mavs got blown out. And that was kind of a tipping point. Then you go to training camp this year. He was unable to do it because of a strained calf. Then he re-injured his strained calf. That makes 4 strained calves in 28 months. His conditioning had been an issue pre-draft. You know, he's just not built for cardio. And it's amazing. You can see Luka mid-season, late season, while everybody else is sort of walking to the bench for a timeout. He's got to do like the old man grab the knee thing and catch his breath for 10, 15 seconds. He's a horrible natural cardio athlete. And I think they added that all up with his bad nutrition, his drinking, his smoking, and they just thought this guy cannot lead us to a championship because of, you know, his poor commitment throughout the year. And, you know, Nico is a Kobe Bryant worshiper, so he wants more of that Black Mamba mentality and mold from his star.
That's so fascinating. That video of them taking the beer out of his hand last year for the conference final should have been all we needed to know. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that before, but now it all kind of comes full circle. You realize this has been a concern for them for a while. Gavin Dawson, our guest, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, at Gavin Dawson on Twitter. Does Nico Harrison have the balls to be in the arena tonight, and will the Nepo DuPont guy be in the arena tonight?
I believe Nico will be there. I don't know if he'll make it throughout the whole game. The environment could be insane. I don't know. Like, in the week after the trade, there was a couple of home games and the Fire Nico chants, and they kicked out people for wearing anti-Nico t-shirts. But then they sort of, you know, pulled back from that position. You know, they understood we got to let the fans voice their frustration. But, you know, tonight I think there's an opportunity that this swings back towards ugly. But I'll tell you, Dallas sports fan, North Texas sports fan in general, they usually err on the side of cordial and polite when in public. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a very a relatively peaceful trip through the evening, as Luka and the game might get a lot of it. But I mean, Luka's probably going to go out there tonight and try to score 40 in the first half. It could turn into a blowout. It could get ugly, and that could lead to fan frustration that might direct some of their ire towards him. It's really a combustible mix tonight. We just, you know, we're not quite sure what to expect other than the fact that it's going to be surreal.
Yeah. Hey, kind of an ownership based question. He gets traded immediately. People hear the reasoning, and even if you agree with their sentiment of the health stuff, like why you don't open up that to the league to get as much stuff in return for Luka trade, as I think where a lot of people sit, of like just kind of stupid in terms of running that.
How about Austin Reeves too? Yeah. Maybe throw him into the deal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe have Austin Reeves come back. Yeah. Pretty good player. But there's a lot, you know, society in general is based on this, but conspiracy theory pops up, and the Adelson family from Vegas, and Vegas being a potential NBA market. I'm kind of just curious where all of that, like how long that lasted in the town, and then Mark Cuban selling a huge percentage of this and not being responsible, but then doing this press tour of, oh, it wasn't my decision, and why he sold. I still like kind of curious how the dude that's such a fan ends up just randomly saying, I'm selling most of this team. Like where all of the ownership stuff sits today in Dallas.
Yeah, you know, okay, so Mark Cuban had said 3 years ago he would never sell the team. He said at the presser to announce the sale that he didn't want his kids to have to deal with the pressure of having an entire city, you know, writing every decision that he makes, you know, and having this sort of reaction. You know, I think when Mark sold the team, there was a handshake deal that he was still going to be the governor. And that would have been amazing. But at some point, the Adelson family decided that their son-in-law, Patrick Dumont, was going to be the governor. And that's really when everything changed for the worse, because, you know, you saw in Brooklyn with the Nets when, you know, they traded Damian Lillard for Gerald Wallace, how these new owners just have horrible ideas. And you know, they want to make moves. They want to do things. And they don't know what they don't know. So ultimately, Mark Cuban not being there was what lit the fire that ultimately led to the Luka dismissal. As far as the conspiracy theory goes, you know, the Vegas one was snuffed out pretty quick just because of the relocation would end up costing the league money, and expansion into Vegas would make each of the owners hundreds of millions of dollars. So I don't think they could get the approval or the league blessing to move a team to Las Vegas, especially in a top five market with good fan support like Dallas. But, you know, I think the interesting conspiracy theory is Nico's history with Nike and the ability to sell the league and sell sneakers out of Los Angeles is just so much greater than Dallas. The ratings are down. The Lakers can't drive ratings. The Lakers don't have any assets right now to make a trade for a star player. But, hey, we got this guy, Nico, in Dallas, and you know, he has a star player that won't talk to him. Like, Luka stopped communicating with everybody in the Mavericks other than his teammates and the head coach for the last 3 or 4 months, you know? So I think it was a perfect storm, and that's what makes the conspiracy angle interesting, because the NBA just signed $7 billion TV deal. Yeah. And last year in Major League Baseball, Diamond Sports proved they can go to the Supreme Court and get out of their broadcasting obligation with the fees, right? I hope this is tracking. So yeah, the Supreme Court decided if television networks are no longer making profit with their sports deals, they can just bail. And the NBA, I think, was looking at that and saying, we have to make the Lakers relevant. So that's the only conspiracy theory that tracks in my mind.
Interesting.
Could you imagine finding out the league was like, yo, send him to L.A. to save stuff?
When's that front frozen envelope 30 for 30 coming out in 20 years? Last one, yeah, I got for you, Gavin, is Jerry Jones been the biggest winner in all of this, or is he getting the most the same amount of scrutiny?
You know, I don't think anything can save Jerry Jones. Yeah, if on a scale of 1 to 10 in North Texas, the Cowboys are a 10, and every other sport in their biggest years are just trying to get to a 5. You know, they win a championship. Yeah. I think right now Cowboys sentiment is as low as it's been in the 15 years that I've been working at their flagship station here in Dallas. The fans, the legends, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, all that frustration is rising at a very high level. And they're not showing any signs that they're going to, you know, change their team building practices here for the last couple of decades. So, I mean, the Cowboys are depressing. The Mavs are depressing. Right now, we got the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Stars. And, you know, I guess for at least one more night, this Luka story, it's just fascinating where it goes after this.
How much do you miss doing the mop and rop, rop and the mop? And then also, what do you not miss about living here?
Well, I mean, the traffic is insane, right? When I left, it was bad on the highways on the weekdays and rush hour. And now it's bad, like, any day of the week, any time. I think there's something to be said for having more sun. But man, I'm so proud of Isaac and everything that's happened to the fan. I guess it was in my mind at one time I would never leave the fan, and the game happened and we went over there, but I do miss the hell out of talking Trailblazers basketball and in college football. I guess that whole scene has changed quite a bit as well. But man, I miss having that connection with my teams that I had as a child, right? And I would say that it is ideal for any sports broadcaster to start and finish his career in his hometown, where, you know, that passion and that heartbeat of local sports teams is going through. I mean, I've been here for a long time, and I root for all the DFW sports teams now. You know, so it's kind of a weird deal, but when they win, it's good for business. It's good for ratings. Yeah. It's good for advertising dollars. So, you know, that's different than covering a team that you grew up with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get that. Gavin Dawson, great stuff. Formerly of The Fan, doing great things in Dallas. 105.3 The Fan, at Gavin Dawson on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks for the time. I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining day on the station, and tomorrow's reaction will be fascinating as well. Thanks for the time here in Portland, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's an honor. Cheers.
There you go. Gavin Dawson. Great stuff from him from Dallas on Luka Doncic returning and what that scene's going to be like tonight. It's, you know, he's saying that they're a cordial crowd. There were funerals for the Mavs organization in the first game at they played after trading Luka. I imagine a lot of booing and firing of the GM and the head coach, or excuse me, the GM and the owner of the team. And in the arena tonight, this is one you got your eyes on. I'm curious to see how it looks.
I would put that as maybe biggest sports scandal of all time if they ever found out that they were forced to trade.
One of the biggest ever. One of the biggest ever.
I can't think of another one. Moving a team in the middle of the night in the NFL, but like that wasn't a time we covered sports the way we do now.
No. And that was just shady business deals. This you're essentially the conspiracy theory is you're fixing the league to have the Lakers be relevant, because you need the Lakers to be relevant.
It's impossible not to be thinking stuff like that, though, when you see, like, Anthony Davis is a very damn good player.
Yeah.
You open that up to the league and you are getting so much more back in a trade. That just, I'm still shocked. You see Luka last night against Oklahoma City in a Laker uniform and you're like,
doesn't make sense.
What is happening?
It's back in Dallas tonight in a Laker uniform, and we'll see what this scene looks like. I'll be glued to it tonight to see how it all goes.
Well, even
down.
The papooer of return games is actually suddenly excited about it.
Even the papooer's in for that return game. Let's get the stat or story. We'll do it next.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Addison, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32
boobs. Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, folks, Stat or Story time. We got to go quick here. We got to turn and burn. I will take the reins and we'll go first. Your number is 9.
Nine
is your number.
Nine times. Is it Ferris Bueller?
Is there a niner in there? Nine times. Nine. Is it the number of playoff series that Mike Malone won during his tenure as head coach of the Denver Nuggets? Or is it the number of counts of battery that are awaiting a 16-year-old at Rio Rancho High School in New Mexico who peed in the water cooler of their high school rival team at a JV baseball game?
It's a stat.
Well, he won 4 when they won the title. I want to say he won more, but
lost to Portland in the second round in the 7-gamer.
I'm going to go. But that's if you're doing how many counts? No, you're right. It's less than that. I'll go stat.
Less than that, yep. It is a stat. 9-1, 9 series. Is
saw
how many
an
Mike
Malone yesterday?
Yeah, no, I assumed that you would. You Riggins me. Thank you for at least letting me finish my stat before interrupting me.
That was great last week.
A member of Rio Rancho High School JV's baseball team urinated in the water cooler of the La Cueva High School baseball team, and he is facing 15 counts of battery. The Rio Rancho Police Department announced on Friday he's a 16-year-old. He has not been announced yet because he's a minor.
Yeah.
But the police department issued in a news release is facing the charges in connection. I guess before the game, he went over into their dugout, took a leak in their water cooler, and then joked about it with his teammates. That details got out. Now they are investigating it, and he is facing 15 counts. And the police basically told the families, like, you know, maybe go consult a physician if your kid drank out of that water cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd want to throw up. Your number is 8.
8.
8. The number is 8. Is it the number of hits the San Francisco Giants have accumulated after being shut out in 2 straight games? Or is it the number of people, counting the pilot, that were on a passenger plane that skidded off the runway into North Bend in Southwest Oregon and fell into Coos Bay?
Stat!
Okay. Since he's watching the gents, I'll go stat there as well.
Okay. It is indeed...
swing and a foul.
A stat.
It is a stat.
Yeah.
As the Giants have been shut out in 2 straight games
I saw that plane in the drink. The Reds. Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, that's right. The Cincinnati Reds.
Yes.
Cincinnati Reds are a juggernaut. Can't
beat
the Reds,
man. And
then
he had to watch those City Connect jerseys as well last night.
Yeah, those are pretty hideous.
Starting to...
not a big fan of those.
Smell like a fraudulent start there to the season after those last two.
Sound a little cocky over there in last place.
We are sniffing the Phillies. Beat them last night.
Only 5 back.
Braves still have better odds to win their division than the Giants.
That is true. That is true.
Hey, raise your hand if your team's won a World Series in the last 5 years. Why don't you get you one of those? No.
I'll give it a shot.
The pilot and 4 passengers of a small private airplane skidded off the runway and fell into Coos Bay.
I'm assuming that was a PJ headed to Bandon?
It was a I think it was PJ headed in for Bandon, yes,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
it was coming in. Where's the town? They flew in. From Utah. They were flying in from Utah. They had a landing situation happen, and it resulted with them ending up in Coos Bay.
Lack of landing situation.
In about 5 feet of water.
Now, yeah.
I've always thought, landing in water, you generally just think, well, I'm probably going to die from impact. But my second thought, and close to my first thought, is, damn, that water's going to be freezing cold.
It's going to be cold, but you do have a chance if you can, if you see what's going on and you're, you know, get yourself out and, you know.
Luckily, only minor injuries suffered to these people.
That's
a miracle. There was only minor injuries and nothing more serious
that
than
that. That Bandon trip suddenly got infinitely better.
That's an all-time story to tell. All-time story to tell.
Hoping Bandon, you know, rolled out a little red carpet for him down there if they found out. Your final number is 41. Is it the number of starts at the Masters Bernhard Langer will make when he puts the tee in the ground early Tuesday morning? His final one, his final competitive round at the Masters.
He's a cheating bastard with an anchored putter.
31?
41.
41, thank you.
41. Or is it the percent of the world's gin, manufactured, distilled, that is consumed by the Philippines, the biggest gin drinking country in the world? It is National Gin and Tonic Day for those need a reason.
It's your day.
Yeah, I mean, that would take you back to 1984-ish. Now, I'm sure he missed one or two along the way.
Going story.
You gotta go story here.
That's a lot of story. That's a lot of Masters.
That is a lot of Masters.
I don't know how old Bernhard
is. He's very old. He's very old. Past champion.
You know what?
He's been on the senior tour for a long time
now. What
do you think? It's hard for me because I don't remember when he broke onto the PGA Tour. I know he's older.
But does he want us to think that's a lot? There's no way it could be a stat, and it's a stat.
That's kind of where my head's at. Don't follow me because I'm terrible,
stat.
But I'm going to go stat. I'm going to go stat.
Following you.
Bernhard Langer's 41st start.
When was his first?
It was early 80s. He won his first jacket in 1985.
Yeah, he won one early on in his career.
And then he won again in 93. He is 67 years old.
Mm. They gifted him a custom Augusta Masters Mercedes.
Mm. Yes. And so he has won.
Damn,
he won last year
sweet.
On the Champions Tour.
It's badass.
He's the all-time Champions Tour winner for both regular events and senior majors.
Yes, he is.
And he has won a tournament in 18 consecutive years on the Champions Tour every year that he's been there.
And he's a cheating bastard because he plays with an anchored putter. He still anchors his putter.
You
cheating bastard.
You could make a good argument that this is or should
he's
be.
He's one of the most fit. He's out of the Gary Player, though. He's amazingly fit and has kept himself in ridiculous shape.
Well, he looks great for his age. You could make a real argument that in 15 years, that Mercedes-Benz should be the most valuable Mercedes-Benz in the world.
Yeah.
That's a pretty badass Mercedes-Benz.
The interior of this thing is
nuts.
The color.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is National Gin and Tonic Day, so get out there. Weather should be dry today. Enjoy. Raise one up.
Are we going to have good weather today?
It'll be dry. It'll be a little warmer than yesterday. It's not
going
to be like last weekend, but you should be able to get around.
You're not going
to
get soaked.
The Philippines is the world's largest gin market by volume, and they consume 43% of the gin produced in the world.
How's that going to impact with tariffs?
Well, they produce a lot of their own gin.
Mm.
It is Ginebra San Miguel is the local distillery that does it. There you go.
Enjoy your G's and T's, man.
Enjoy your G's and T's today.
Go get
today.
A G&T today.
Azaleas tomorrow.
Azaleas tomorrow and Friday. It's going to be delightful. There you go. Saturday story a little bit later than usual. Every Wednesday, usually at 8:15. Today at 8:30. Let's wrap it up. Send you on your way. The Blazers play tonight. Do we know that? Is there any chance that they lose? Probably not. We'll close it up next on The Fam. Well, if you weren't paying attention last night, you would have missed it. Did you know the Blazers got jumped in the tank standings by the Phoenix Suns? Technically speaking.
So we're behind them in the lottery because of the tiebreaker stuff?
Because of the tiebreaker stuff.
I saw the Suns loss. Yeah. I saw we record-wise win percentage, all that. But it's great. We'll get Con Knipple and we're going to save all of this.
Is that the 10th spot now?
They are now the 10th spot in the NBA draft lotteries. So let me go look at the lottery odds and see where their odds fell. The Suns have lost 7 in a row. I'm going to go ahead and break some news to you. The Phoenix Suns will not win a game the rest of the season.
No. Kevin Durant's not coming.
So that's done. It's over because they already have the tiebreaker or non-tiebreaker ahead of you, depending on how you want to define it.
By the way, it says here on my sheet, the Rockets get their pick.
The Rockets,
get the Suns pick?
The Suns pick?
I was going to do the Tankathon lottery.
Is it protected in a certain spot?
I'll go look it up. I didn't know that. But there's also so many trade swaps going on in this draft that we're going to go, what?
That's right. I forgot about that
one. And on the Tankathon, it says the Rockets are 9 and they're taking Derek Queen. Here is the Sim lottery. Here we go. We stayed at 10.
Yeah. The Suns, by the way, host the Thunder tonight, so they're going to lose. Portland is in Utah, and they're going to win. So
Cooper Flagg is going to go to D.C., according to this. That'd be a fun team.
They go to the nation's capital.
The Wizards all you want. That would be
there
a fun
are
team.
Some worse places.
They'd immediately jump us
for
in the bright futures.
Well, I think what people don't think about, Charlotte Hornets are newly run.
Yeah.
Wizards are newly run. Like, we act like these teams just have the same general manager for 20 years.
They do not.
So.
Change of regime, man.
I think we got a shot to lose.
You think we got a chance?
You gonna lay the 6 points?
6.5 is your line.
Close?
We're favored by 6.5.
Yeah, because I think Delano Banton will get sat once he gets to 40, and he shoots 38 shots.
So you're telling me now we're gonna tank? Is that what you're telling me?
A lot of Justin Minaya in our future. No.
Oh, okay. He wasn't available 2 weeks ago. There's no way we could have gotten the 8th worst record. But now, we'll lock up that 10th spot.
I'm just saying.
It's already done.
I wouldn't be shocked if we come in and the Jazz win.
There you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. We went to Denver and Dallas today. The Luka return game is tonight at 4:30. We'll talk about that. The Masters tees off tomorrow. Thanks so much for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.